A while back, I went to get a life insurance policy the old-fashioned way. Physical exam, blood work, the whole thing. They turned me down. My numbers were bad. Now that rejection ended up being one of the best things that has happened to me. It kicked the health journey that I am still on. Down 30 pounds and counting. But I realize not everybody's in that situation. Maybe you've just been putting it off. Maybe the process always seemed like too much of a hassle. That's exactly what Ethos fixes. Ethos helps you find life insurance completely online, no medical exam, just a few simple health questions. Get a quote in seconds. Apply in minutes. Same day coverage up to $3 million in protection. And some policies are as low as 30 bucks a month. There's no excuse to keep waiting on this one. Take 10 minutes and get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Take 10 minutes and get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Free quote at ethos.com/Zabe. ethos.com/Zabe. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. Well, as luck would have it, as fine a place as Utah is to be, occasionally the internet goes out. Church joins us today by audio only via his iPhone. Hello, Church. How you doing? What's happening up there?
All right, so this story, just it takes a moment. If you remember about a year and a half ago, when I moved out of Plymouth, Minnesota, The day I moved out, they staked flags in my yard for fiber internet. And I'm like,
they staked flags in your new yard in Virgin, Utah.
No, in the Plymouth yard.
Right, in the old yard. Yes.
Yes, I've been waiting for fiber, right? You know, for years and years. And literally the day I'm moving out, they put in fiber. So then I get to Virgin, Utah. Now, most of Utah has reliable internet access, but not where I live, where it's antenna-based, and a guy named Michael runs it. It's a one-man shop who lives in town, and you bring a check to his house, and you put it in his mailbox every month to pay for your internet.
That's the front door.
Yes. So he's about 65 years old. His wife has already passed. We have like one guy standing between me and total blackout of internet.
Okay, hold on. What technology are you using to get high speed?
So I have an antenna on the side of my house that aims at a repeater antenna on a water tower on top of a mountain.
So it's a WAN. It's a wide area network. This is the kind of quote-unquote high speed that I had before I got Starlink. You, sir, need to get Starlink now.
I have Starlink, and I set it up. And it ran at about all the same speed and same everything else. And I'd ultimately decided, you know, I should probably just go with the local guy because I can, like, drive to his house if I need to. Now, in retrospect, that's a mistake. Because
This is blowing my mind that you, a smart tech man, somebody smarter than me on tech, would make such a colossal mistake. You're going with Mike, the 62-year-old widower, and his inferior technology of a WAN to get your internet with no customer service, no reliability, no ability to scale up once they get more satellites in the air. By the way, Starlink's going to keep getting better and better as more of those little birds gets pooped out into outer space.
So fast forward to today, and a storm rolls in and my internet gets knocked out. Coincidentally, today, the Ditch Witch for fiber showed up in my neighborhood started trenching fiber in front of my house.
Well, if that's really the case, then you should hold off on Starlink because fiber will blow that away. Now, I will say, I am blown away that your little slice of heaven there in the dirt tan hills of Utah is getting fucking fiber connectivity.
Thank God.
To serve the 28 houses that live there?
Well, my city is of 600, and there are almost exactly 28 houses in my neighborhood, but I'm sure that they've decided that it's worth it. They've trenched all the way up to Zion and back down to Leverkin, and they're making a big move on this, and I'm so happy. I can't wait to have actual fast internet. Right now, if I turn on two TVs, I'm on streaming two TVs and I, God forbid, add like a third device, whole thing's down. It's, you know, that's it. It's a two device system at best. It's so bad.
All right. We got a lot to get to here, including Romo, Fauci, Monopoly. I've got my version of Hedy Lamarr, so I need to carve out a good 15 minutes for that. Yes, I have a story. I have something that will probably either fascinate some or bore the shit out of everybody else. It's going to take about 15 minutes. So we'll get to that at the end.
All right.
And then anything else you want to talk about? You had a few questions for me regarding my Ireland trip.
Yeah. So, if you've already talked about it in previous shows, you and I have not talked. I'll let you figure out how much time you should spend on it. But what did you do? How did it go? Did everybody get along? Was there any drama?
No drama. We're men. We're men of golfing. And so, therefore, any drama was minor. Any shit-talking was mostly in good spirit. And if anybody got even slightly out of line, they were told to shut the fuck up.
Oh, I love
That's why I love men. I love being with men. We solve it with blunt, direct communication. And we're easygoing, you know? So there's that.
That helps.
Fantastic trip. No rain the entire week. Courses were browner and harder than I would have liked because it is Ireland. It's supposed to be a bit greener. But that's just because they've had a really warm summer, dry summer the last month. And so it is what it is. You really can't complain. I'm just calling balls and strikes. I would have liked it a touch greener, but it was still amazing. Courses were insane. It's hard to get to the courses. You have to drive an hour, hour and a half, pretty much from any decent hotel that's more inland to get to the courses. Whereas in Scotland, you would stay like the trips I've taken there, like you'll stay at the Old Course Hotel, you walk to the first tee.
Yeah,
you stay at Turnberry, you walk down the hill to the first tee. You stay up at Trump Aberdeen, you stay in a fucking miniature castle, and they bring a limo that drives you 2 minutes to the front.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, it's sick. Sick. So this was a little bit harder. I love the courses. Had a great time.
But at the end of the day, right, you're playing legendary 200-year-old courses, right? So, you know, in the big scheme, people in major metropolitan areas will drive 90 minutes to go golf.
Correct.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not 200-year-old. They are 130-year-old.
Okay.
But they're still spectacular.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's still amazing.
It was a great time. You turn loose a bunch of middle-aged men without any adult or female supervision, you're going to have a good time. My only regret is that I didn't get two assets that I really wanted to get. One was of the three young gals who had traveled from County Mayo. I called it the City of Mayo. I was mistaken. It's the entire County of Mayo in the western part of Ireland to go. They were making their way to Dublin for the All-Ireland football final. This is Gaelic football. Google it.
Okay.
It's weird. It's hard to understand.
It's not soccer?
It's not soccer. It's not rugby. It's not Aussie rules football. It's their own version of football. It's a round ball. They run, they kick it, they throw it, and yeah. But that's
okay.
This is it for them. This is like the Super Bowl. It's not a pro league. You just play for your county, the pride of your county in Ireland.
Mm.
And Mayo had not been to the final in forever, and so we ran into these three gals, young 20-somethings, just living life, their whole life stretched out in front of them, Charge, as far as the eye can see. Very, very jealous of them, but they were having the time in Killarney on their way to Dublin, and I didn't get a picture of them. I wanted to get a quick video. In retrospect, I'm like, I should have got a quick video of them saying Mayo's going to win.
Yeah.
And guess what? Mayo did win. Pulled off this huge upset against Kerry County, which is like the Yankees of Gaelic football. I wish I'd gotten that asset. I also wish I'd gotten multiple assets and kept a running count of the number of Guinnesses that Big Mike, JB, BP, Daryl, I'm trying to think who else was mainly in the Guinness train, Billy Zolins. I mean, these guys, I want to say topped 100 Guinness by the end of the trip. Oh, yeah.
Guinness is about the heaviest beer you can drink.
Yeah.
That is impressive. I mean, this isn't like chugging ultras. I mean, that's, you know, that is a, the ultra to Guinness conversion rate is 3-1.
Yeah. Well, they were deleting them at record pace. And I wished I in my mind as a little video maker, I'm like, I would be able to put a counter and just clip, 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 like ding, 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 ding. Oh, what, this is number 56. I'm up to 72. Would have been very funny in retrospect. But yeah, the other thing that was weird, that a number of guys drank American beer, Coors Light.
Why bother? You can do that at home.
That they like what they like. And so they, they would order the Coors, or the Coors Light. And at every place we went, if you ordered a Coors Light, they gave it to you in a glass that had the Coors Light logo.
Man.
If you ordered a Budweiser, it came in a Budweiser. I ordered a Diet Coke at a place. It came with a tall glass that was shaped like a Diet Coke bottle and had the logo on it. It's the weirdest thing. They're very much into the whole, hey, we're going to do this proper or we're not going to do it at all.
All right. So Coors Light was an invisible brand 20 years ago. And then, Coors is dying. Coors is dying back then, and Coors Light was totally invisible. Then Coors risked everything by getting their NFL sponsorship. And Coors Light, for a decade, was the official beer of the NFL. And Coors spiked enormously. It became, at one point, the most purchased beer in America. And now they've since given up the NFL sponsorship a decade ago or something. And now it's Ultra. And Coors Light has sort of regressed back. But I wonder if they've taken some of the assets and switched them overseas and tried to build an audience for Coors Light there.
Well, you know, the main plot device of the iconic movie Smokey and the Bandit?
Yes, I do. That, of course,
they had to
smuggling over to Texarkana.
Coors beer to Texarkana because it was illegal at the time because it was unpasteurized and lacked preservatives and was not licensed for sale or tax compliance outside of its Western distribution region. The notion that a fucking beer was worthy of a multi-state car chase with cops in tow is such a lark, but they made a movie of it, and it's
that's out of unpasteurized beer. Jackie Gleason is freaking awesome.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's so good in that movie and absolutely sells it. And every scene with him is just freaking golden. He's so good. I love Jackie Gleason in that film and pretty much everything else. And Burt Reynolds, I mean, for as cool as he was at the time and Sally Field is beautiful and everything, they're just sort of along for the ride on this thing. It is a Jackie Gleason story.
The boys are thirsty in Atlanta. There's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. We're going to do what they say can't be done. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound. Just watch old Bandit run.
Oh, man. That was a huge hit for Jerry Reed, right?
Yeah, Jerry Reed, who was in the movie.
Played the trucker.
He played the snowman and also sang the song.
Yes, that was a huge hit for him, for sure.
Big country star.
That's fantastic. Okay. Hey, do you have a lot of pride in your county? What is your county in Virginia?
Loudoun.
Loudoun. Do you have a lot of Loudoun County pride?
No. You know why? Our fucking dipshit school district keeps making all kinds of negative headlines regarding, you know, transgender and bathroom and covering up assaults and moving teachers. Oh, yeah. People keep going, what's up with Loudoun County? I'm like, fucking crazy libs have taken over the school system, sadly.
Did you? I bet you didn't see this while you were gone. Another Minnesota thing that only Minnesota in our schools here. Well, I'm not Minnesota anymore. Right. They are now handing out dolls beginning at age four. They now have the schools handing out dolls with snap-on, snap-off genitals so that you can switch out the genitals back and forth.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. That's wonderful. You got out in time, Charge. That's all I got to say.
Well, hang on. One last thing. My county is Washington County. By comparison, I have county pride because Washington County has not raised the county tax in 18 years.
That's in Utah.
That's in Utah.
Well, 18 years, it's, you know, that's a nice run, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. With more richy-rich retirees like you getting in there, guess what? They're going to find a way to get that money.
No, you don't understand how Utah works. This is the difference between Minnesota and Utah. In Minnesota, my county tax doubled in 5 years. You know, they had, you know, this is the concept of a county not raising their tax rate for 18 years to me is mind blowing.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. You picked a great spot, man. I'm very happy for you. And it's very cool. But that internet situation is fucked up.
Yeah, not good.
Around that. Okay.
That is true.
All right. 2 minutes each on these, and then we'll get to Monopoly and my Hedy Lamarr. 2 minutes, Fauci, go. Today, he took the fifth over and over, and as I told my buddies online, I said, look, all you're going to get satisfaction-wise for an asshole who should be in prison, a criminal, really, a fucking evil sociopath, narcissist, the most satisfaction you're ever going to get was today, which was a handful of senators dunking on him, cussing him out while he sat there and took the fifth 115 times. I know that Rand Paul says they're going to vote, the committee is, to recommend that he be charged with, not obstruction, but what's the...
Contempt.
Contempt. Yeah, contempt, which potentially carries a year in jail, but fucking no way that's going to happen. They're going to come back. They're going to try to get the votes for that. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Nothing's going to happen. And Fauci is going to slip back into the dark waters of the swamp, and he is going to disappear, and then you'll see an obit, probably when he's 88 years old, maybe. Anthony Fauci passed away today. Da, 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 da. I wish it were different. I wish we had accountability and justice in this world, but this was the best you're going to get. That's my take, two-minute take, your two-minute take, go.
It's identical to yours. There's going to be no real consequence, and that's sad. He should go to jail. The most they can get him for is his contempt, but the contempt would be 1 year. If Fauci did a year in jail, that would help. I mean,
I'll be nice, but that's shit. I'll take a day, but my expectations are low.
Mine are too. Fortunately, you know, Rand Paul is obsessed with this, and rightfully so. He's the only person who's got the stomach to do this, which I think is great. He's somebody that's willing to defy his own party, do what he wants. I like that part a lot about him in particular. Here's the thing. If the pardon hadn't been done, he would be looking at the rest of his life in jail.
Potentially.
Almost certainly would.
Remember, there has to be the political will to prosecute him, and you have to get a judge or a jury to convict him. And there's so many people, so many mindless dipshits that are like, oh, you're ganging up on him. Look how nice he is.
Yes.
Sweet old man. Seriously. To this day, Harvey Levin, TMZ, today put out a video going, man, I hate to see this. This was sad to see Fauci having to take the fifth. And I'm like,
man, dude's a stone cold killer.
I know. And a liar and everything else. But, you know, it goes back to the old adage. It's far easier to fool someone than to convince them that they have been fooled.
That is absolutely true.
So people just don't want to accept that. So that was that on Fauci. Yeah. Let's talk Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
In the intervening time between my last podcast and now, Shanahan gathered a group of reporters and told them, hey, that police report that said that the 21-year-old girl that was in the collision with me, it was her fault. Ah, that wasn't true. And then the Palo Alto PD department said, yeah, we made a clerical error. Yeah. Shanahan's story is that he was going only 20 miles an hour in his Tesla Model S, and he lost his phone between the seats, looked down to try to grab it. Next thing you knew, when he looked up, it was bam, the airbags were hitting him in the face, nearly causing him to lose an eye, which I'm like, I thought airbags were put in so you wouldn't lose an eye at 20 miles an hour. But the fact that a story about a head coach in the NFL, one who's been to the Super Bowl, the son of a Super Bowl winning head coach, that he would be in a car crash serious enough that he is still out from coaching, that it would sit dormant for 11 days, and then the accident report would be initially a clerical error on whose fault it is. And then he would say, well, I was reaching for my phone, when you and I know as Tesla owners, you hit one button and you can make a Caesar salad in your lap and not crash, much less fish your phone out of the seat. Nothing adds up here. This is now entering the Simpsons Aurora Borealis episode of Really, Skinner, Aurora Borealis, localized in your kitchen.
There's what? So much that stinks in out of this story. First of all, turn on your full self-driving, and then this accident doesn't happen. You don't have to drive yourself. FSD is between, you know, the numbers are roughly between 4 and 7 times more likely to avoid collision than you are. So should have just had that part on. Number two, didn't drop his phone between the seat. Come on. You were on your phone. Just own it, right? And you could have been an example for distracted driving. Kyle Shanahan, you have millions of dollars in the bank. You have total job security. You could have just owned it and said, I fucked up. I did what you're not supposed to do. I was looking at my phone and I got into this car crash. It's on me. I hope other people can take this as a lesson. That would have been a far better approach than I dropped the phone down the crack between the seat and the console. Yeah. Nobody believes that. Come on. Yeah. That's absurd.
But what's,
no chance.
But what's wild is that several people who cover the Niners out there are now saying, way to go, way to stand up and take responsibility. And they're praising Kyle Shanahan for being accountable. And I'm like, would you guys wake the fuck up? Like, just because he does it now eventually because people were sniffing around doesn't absolve the fact that he should have disclosed right away so that reporters aren't thinking there's something nefarious going on. Hey, I've been in a car crash. I'm going to be out a while.
Yeah. And now what's really interesting is there's a bunch of reports saying that the San Francisco media knew about it and agreed not to publicize it, even though they knew it. Now, you could fall back on HIPAA and say this is a private health matter.
No, I don't think that applies.
I don't think it applies here either. You're still a notable person with a notable situation that's definitely newsworthy. And there's somebody else. There's also a victim involved, the person you hit.
Yeah.
So I don't think that holds up, Zabe.
No, it doesn't. And it really shows you how the sausage gets made in the National Football League. You had Chris Sims, who admitted he knew this ahead of time, who is also connected to Adam Shifty Schefter, who is also close to Kyle. And the two of them conspired to keep it under wraps. So, you know, it's like, why are we paying Schefter $14 million a year when stories of impact he won't report out of a friendship with a head coach? It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and it's all about protecting sources, right? And, you know, they always want... I don't know what Chris Sims's angle is, honestly, because that's not his bag.
Because he's friends with Kyle.
I don't know, I guess. All right. I mean, you know, okay, they're friends. And I guess if you and I were friends and I knew something that you didn't want me to say, I would probably respect that.
Hey, you know that thing I told you about? You're going to keep that quiet.
Yeah, in Vegas? Mm-hmm, yeah, that's right.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
I think Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan played in college together, believe it or not. Played football in college.
Huh. All right. Maybe.
They were college football teammates at Texas.
Wow. All right. Cool.
Did you know that? Did you know that Kyle was a
no
little used bench receiver?
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah, now you know. You know something. Now,
all right, catching passes from Chris Sims. So to me, that's a better reason for Chris Sims not to report it. He's a friend. My friendship counts more to me. That to me holds a lot more integrity than Schefter, who just did it because he wants scoops.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Tony Romo, it has now come out, the body cam footage of him and his traffic stop. And I don't know if legally he'll be found guilty of OWI, as they call it now.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I know this.
Apparently they got tears.
I know this. He didn't look sober. He looked disheveled. Wow. And he looked pathetic. And what I first noticed was, okay, his hair. Look at his big floppy hair. Okay, all right. And then he says, I was just going to see my grandma and my grandpa. He's okay. 47. And I, first of all, I laughed. Like, what do you think the cop was going to go?
Really? In that case, come on, what am I doing?
Get going. Right. Grammy and Grampy, get going. You're good. You're good.
It's Nana. Go. I understand. No problem. I'll escort you there.
But this just came out today. Per publicly posted obituaries, all four of Tony Romo's grandparents appeared to be deceased.
Oh, yeah. In fairness, he was hammered. He didn't make up a great excuse while he was drunk. I probably couldn't either. It looked like he was trying to be playful with the
police. Of course, he was trying to be friendly and charming and nice. Now, I guess I give him some credit that he didn't say, do you know who I am?
You know who I am, yeah.
But at one point, when he was dragged into the garage, you know, where they would give him the sobriety test, the walk on one foot, do this, do that. I believe he said to the female officer, he's like, so do you think just because I'm coming from a golf course that I'm drunk? And my answer was, in the state of Wisconsin, yes.
Yes.
Almost 100%. Just because I'm coming from a golf course, you'd think I'm drunk. Yeah, I do, actually.
Yes, I do. That's so good.
So what do you think? What do you think will happen to Tony?
Well, it'll blow over. Yeah. You know, my guess is, because we have games, if we didn't have games imminent, and I'm sure he's on some preseason games, I would say they would just do nothing, to blow over, and 6 months later we'll all forgotten. But because it's imminent, I think he will do a short mea culpa in his first preseason game that almost nobody's watching anyway, and move on with his life, and that will be it.
I think he's got to go to speed rehab. He's got August to do that before the season starts. So I think his PR team's probably crafting a public statement and a, you know what, I need to work on some things in my life, go to some clinic, come back on air, give a sincere, heartfelt apology and a message to everybody, you know, be better, take better responsibility, and then away they go.
Yeah. I don't think there's any long-term damage for Tony that he hasn't already inflicted upon himself with his broadcasting style, which has started to grate on a lot of people.
Well,
Have you ever been pulled over in Wisconsin?
No, thank God. Not that I drive impaired in Wisconsin, but I've never been pulled over.
Three times for me, all of them on 94, which is the connecting point between Minneapolis and anywhere you want to go east. Chicago.
Do they pluck you right across the state line?
In Hudson, you bet they do. They will sit. They will sit in Hudson. There's this big rolling hill you go into in Hudson.
Oh, you betcha. Oh, you betcha.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The fucking cops using their provincial packerdom to go, okay, we're going to get some fucking Vikings coming across the border here.
Absolutely. When they 100% ring you up more if you've got Minnesota plates. And it's got to be a fact.
You say 100%.
I know so many Mittens. Yes. Okay.
All right.
I believe that is true. And they want the the outside the state money. Now, here's the thing. The two time I've been pulled over three times. Last time I got pulled over was only a year and a half, year, 2 years ago. And that time I only got a warning. The previous two times I got the ticket and they make you pay at the station. So they won't, because I'm out of state and they view me as a flight risk and somebody who won't show up for my court appearance. They made me go to the station ATM, pay in cash.
How much?
From the ATM. And that's like 100-ish, 130, something like that.
What was the fee on the ATM?
The ATM fee, right?
God. Fucking assholes. Yes.
No kidding, right? That's Wisconsin justice right there.
Unbelievable. All right. Monopoly. I've been sent this by many of people. Someone put out a link, a little viral link, that said basically, hey, you know, if you played Monopoly by the actual rules printed on the back of the box top, where it's harder to get money and the game takes longer, and there presumably is some more skill involved in it, it's not as bad a game as people say. And I immediately said, well, let's see what Chart has to say about that bullshit. The floor is yours, my friendly Monopoly hater.
I love that I have taught you the ways of Monopoly hate and important board game topics like this. Uh-huh. It is. So I looked and they're right. I think almost all the house rules that people grew up playing are not in the actual rules. In many cases, you do not get bonus money for landing on free parking, as one example. But the big thing that they're right about in Monopoly is if somebody lands on a space and does not buy that space, it goes up for auction and everybody else can then start bidding on it. And that would change the dynamic a fair amount, but it doesn't change the core problem with the game. Well, there's several core problems.
Which is
the biggest problem for Monopoly is there's one way to win the game, and that's buy everything you land on if you possibly can. Always buy, and then just hope the dice help you out so that you land on properties you can afford to buy, and you avoid the dice help you avoid properties other people own. So it's luck based, and there's only one real way to win Monopoly. And all of these rule changes don't change the fact that it is a shit ass game. it's Board Game Geek ranking of all board games all time is something like 50,000th. But
what?
It's that bad.
No chance. There's not 50,000 board games that can be named and ranked. No way.
I'm doing this from memory, but I believe that is correct.
Jesus. Okay, what is considered the best board game of all time? Mainstream. Don't give me some, newfangled last 10 years niche super nerdy one. What is the best acknowledged generational board game out there?
All right. Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you the top five are going to be mostly games you don't know. Brass Birmingham, Ark Nova, Pandemic, Gloomhaven, Dune Imperium. Highest rated one that you might know is...
I'm talking about Risk, Stratego, Sorry. Right. Shoots
widely
and ladders
available. Yeah, you got to go a ways. Most of these big sellers don't rank very well. I would guess it's going to be
so. Nothing from my childhood. Nothing from Milton Bradley in the Golden Age of the 70s.
No, because honestly, those games just don't hold up by today's standards. They're just so much better now.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's end on this. Once upon a time, Paul Charchian told me the tale of Hedy Lamarr, the most beautiful woman on earth, and that there was more to her beauty than just her amazing look. She was also incredibly smart and driven and held patents in all kinds of amazing technologies through the years. And Charge took his time to wind us through the tale of Hedy Lamarr, and it took about 30 minutes, and some people loved it.
It did not take 30 minutes, only in your mind, but yes, continue.
I was being conservative.
Like 30 minutes.
Okay.
No.
All right. Somebody is going to go find the episode.
Please do.
And get it. They will find the episode and they'll go, I remember listening through it and it was long.
I bet it's closer to half that time, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to take a moment to tell you a story about something I did not know myself. What if I told you there was a single common animal that most likely is in your backyard? Not now that you live in Utah, but certainly in Minnesota, it's in my backyard. A simple common animal that proves, some say, almost beyond any argument or shadow of a doubt that God really exists. Would you believe me?
I'm ready to believe you. I'll put it that way.
You want to take a guess as to what animal that is that proves God really exists?
Possum.
No. The woodpecker.
The woodpecker. Overrated cartoon.
The character of Woody Woodpecker was great, though, because he was an unrepentant asshole of a cartoon character. Like, he would fuck with people and, like, with no concern for anyone else's shit. You're like, God, he's an asshole, this woodpecker. So here's the story. A woodpecker pecks at 20 hits per second. That's 12,000 pecks per day. The force
his PPD is 1,000. Okay.
The force is 1,200 grams G's of impact, not grams, 1,200 G's of impact.
That's
enough,
a lot.
Enough to liquefy a human brain instantly. For context, fighter pilots black out at 9 G's.
Right.
So how is this bird still alive? The answer is in its shock absorber skull. The woodpecker skull has a spongy bone that acts like a crumple zone in a car. But here's the problem. Regular bone can't absorb that kind of force. Scientists discovered the bone has a specific density and structure that does not exist in any other animal. The bone tissue is neither too soft, it would collapse, nor too hard, would shatter. It is mathematically perfect. Engineers tried to replicate woodpecker bone for 30 years to create better helmets. They finally succeeded, but only in 2011, by copying the exact molecular structure. Mm. Point two, proof that woodpeckers prove that God is real. The tongue. Do you know the woodpecker tongue wraps all the way around its brain?
I didn't know they had a tongue. I did not know that.
A woodpecker's tongue is 3 times longer than its beak. When not in use, it wraps around the skull between the brain and the skull bone. It creates a protective sling that stabilizes the brain during impact. Again, we're talking 1,200 brrrrts a day.
Yes, yes.
But here's the evolutionary paradox. The tongue had to evolve before the pecking, because without the tongue, the first peck would kill the bird.
Wow.
But why would a tongue that wraps around the brain to cushion it evolve if the bird wasn't yet pecking? Number three, the millisecond eyelid. Woodpeckers have a third eyelid that closes 1 millisecond before impact. This protects the eye from flying wood chips and prevents the eyeball from popping out from the force.
Oh, wow.
1 millisecond every single peck.
And the pecks are at such an incredible rate that that thing is opening and closing constantly.
Exactly. If the eyelid closes 2 milliseconds early, the bird can't see where it's pecking. If it closes 1 millisecond late, the eye could be destroyed. This requires a neurological reflex so precise that scientists cannot explain it and how it evolved without killing thousands of birds first.
Right.
Number four, the straight trajectory neck. When a woodpecker pecks, its head moves in a perfectly straight line. Even 1 degree of rotation would create lateral forces that snap the neck. The neck muscles and vertebrae are structured unlike any other bird, perfectly rigid on one axis, but flexible in others. Engineers now use this design in jackhammers and impact drills. But here's the thing. A partially straight neck trajectory would still kill the bird. It's all or nothing. Evolution requires gradual changes. This bird requires instant perfection. Number five, the self-sharpening beak. A woodpecker's beak never stops growing. It does wear down from the constant pecking, but regenerates at the exact rate it erodes. If it was too fast, the beak would become too long and the bird can't eat. If it was too slow, the beak would wear down and the bird can't peck. The growth rate is calibrated to the tree hardness in the bird's environment.
What?
Woodpeckers in pine forests have different growth rates than woodpeckers in oak forests. The beak somehow knows what it's hitting and adjusts its wear pattern accordingly. How does random mutation create that?
That, yeah.
And finally, number six, the asymmetric impact distribution. CT scans revealed something shocking. The woodpecker's upper and lower beaks are different lengths. This creates an asymmetric impact that routes force around the brain, not through it. If both beaks were the same length, like every other bird, the force would go straight into the skull. Engineers at UC Berkeley tested this and found that even a 2 millimeter difference in beak length changes the force distribution by 40%. The woodpecker's beak is different by exactly 3 millimeters. Perfect calibration.
Unreal.
Seven, the chisel tip precision. The tip of a woodpecker's beak is harder than the rest of the beak. It contains concentrated deposits of calcium and keratin in a crystalline structure. This allows it to penetrate wood without the entire beak shattering upon impact. Material scientists analyzed the beak and found it's got a hardness gradient that goes from soft at the base to diamond hard at the tip. The gradient prevents fracture propagation, the same principle used in samurai swords. No other beak on earth has this property. So here's the evolutionary impossibility. All seven of these features.
They all have to be there, Zabe.
They all had to appear simultaneously. Because without even one of them, the woodpecker dies on the first peck.
Wow.
Evolution requires small incremental changes over millions of years, but the woodpecker requires all or nothing perfection from day one. There is no 70% woodpecker that survives. It's either fully designed and functional, or it's dead.
Dead. Wow.
Darwin himself wrote about the woodpecker in his book Origin of Species, saying, "To suppose that the eye, with all its inimitable contrivances, could have been formed by natural selection, it seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree." He said the same about the woodpecker and then avoided the topic forevermore.
Yes, the woodpecker invalidates my life's work. But moving on, I'd like to tell you about everything else that I've written about.
Yeah, right. Darwin's like, this fucking bird, you wouldn't believe it. It pecks grubs out of tree bark all day, every day to survive. And guess what? I can't fucking explain it. Okay, moving on. Look at this lizard right here.
Right. This was a great story. I love this. I want to start a new podcast with you on the Zabe network of podcasts that is just us telling long form stories on one subject, and that's it. And that's all that is. And it's got to be evergreen like this is.
So in other words, shit you wouldn't believe until I tell you.
Yes.
Because obviously the Hedy Lamarr backstory was incredible here in America.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yep. Fascinating stories that take time to tell and are totally evergreen. People could pick up this particular podcast in 5 years and it would be just as fascinating like the story of the woodpecker.
You know what else blows me away is that, you know, I watch birds outside my window all the time. I'm a bit of a bird nerd myself. And I'm like, birds can eat anything. They can eat grubs. They can eat insects. To get bugs out of hardwood trees is the least efficient thing possible. There is no reason. Like, I'm a believer in evolution, however. To me, this says the woodpecker should have died forever ago because it's just inefficient. It's got to bash its head into a tree to eat the bugs inside the tree. It should be eating bugs on the fucking ground. Or find my bird feeders where I spend it upwards of $70 a month feeding these assholes.
And they are assholes.
Oh, yeah.
The The amazing thing to me on this is there must have been, if you're going to do it from a purely evolutionary standpoint, there had to have been like billions of these that just kept dying over and over again. And just some would live long enough to reproduce that have some of the traits that the woodpecker today would have to have. There had to be just billions of them at some point. I don't know how they could have survived evolutionarily to develop all these things long enough. It's, I don't know. Amazing.
Have you ever seen a pileated woodpecker in the wild?
Well, I maybe, but I don't know what that is. So
The pileated woodpecker is the granddaddy of all woodpeckers. It is the largest. It has a wingspan that can top upwards of 3 feet from tip to tip. It's a big old woodpecker. And I remember seeing one once as a kid in our backyard growing up. My dad would put bird seed out and he's like, oh, look, there's that pileated woodpecker. And man, you gasp when you see this thing, when it comes into your yard and starts digging away. Also, if you look online, I'm looking at it right now, pileated woodpeckers can burrow huge holes, like shotgun-sized holes in trees.
Man.
So, all right.
That's some power.
All right, next week, let's get to football. It's fantasy season. People are going to want Church's fantasy advice, and we need to start getting into it, okay?
I would love to do that. It's been too long.
Time to get back to football. Time to get back.
Let's do it.
All right, Charge.
All right.
Good luck on the internet, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend. Bye.
Okay. Okay, everyone. This record was my idea.
Get out.
It was.
You're lying.
Pete Hosehead here just sort of rid on my coattails.
Why are you doing this? It was awesome.